everything is seasonal. And that has gotten me through lots of moments where I feel like, no, this is permanent. This is forever. And it's also helped me to try to be more grateful when things are going well and understand that, like, when the season changes and I'm not in this good place that I'm trying to be grateful for right now, I didn't do anything wrong. No one else did anything wrong to me. The season changed.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to today's podcast episode. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, with my beautiful and amazing wife, Shepherd.
Hi.
Hey. So today we're going to be talking about seasons. What season are you in? How can you tell? How can you tell the seasons are changing? How can you enter into the natural rhythms of life and creation that God had originally designed so that we can experience rhythms of rest, rhythms of work, rhythms of harvest, summer, winter, all of that. So that's what we're going to be diving into today. We're going to be looking at nature and looking at the spiritual as well. Hey, if you're a normal part of the podcast community, thank you so much for being a part. Thank you for tuning in regularly, sharing, liking, commenting, engaging in all the different ways that you do. We really appreciate that. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. We want to help you experience and host God's presence. We believe God's presence changes everything. So we want to give you interviews and teachings and conversations primarily related to worship, prayer, revival, missions. And so if you're passionate about those things, if you're a worshiper, if you're an intercessor, if you're a leader, be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're tuning in, and we will continue to provide these resources for you. All right. With that said, let's dive in.
Okay, great.
So we're in the Back to Eden season. And so we're kind of talking about all things gardening related and all those, and what'd you say, nature? All those metaphors and pictures that are used throughout the scripture. And one of those is the idea of seasons.
Right.
And so if you haven't caught some of the previous episodes, Shepherd is a gardener and a lover of Jesus, but you can help with some of the practical perspective that might help us to see things maybe a little bit more like what those who were living in biblical times would have known, so that we can hopefully understand more deeply what God is speaking to us. So how you doing?
So good.
Well, let's dive in. I'm going to read Genesis 8. This is, from what I can tell, the first time seasons are really highlighted in the Bible. So that's always a good place to start. This is after Noah's ark has landed after the flood. I'm going to go back to verse 20.
Great.
Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal, some of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So here you have what seems to be the establishment of seasons.
Right.
So I don't know. My theory is that maybe the earth's atmosphere was significantly different before this flood, and that perhaps there weren't seasons as we know it.
Is this where once before I joked that it's because the earth was flat before the flood?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
For those of you listening or watching, we recorded this episode already and there was a technical error.
Of course.
So this is take two.
But I do remember joking that the earth was flat and didn't want to leave that out this time.
Yeah. And so this is when seasons were established. It kind of mentions summer and winter, and it's like spring and fall are seen as basically the transitions. Mm-hmm. There's seed time, there's harvest, there's summer, there's winter. And those are the spring and the fall are the transitions between those seasons. And so I pointed out last time that seasons, from what I can tell in scripture, are an indicator of God's faithfulness, an indicator of his promise. Like we think of the rainbow as an indicator of that. But the rainbow is usually something that happens in certain times of year when it's raining a lot.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And that's a promise, obviously, But even it says here, even day and night.
Yeah.
The seasons are an indicator. Hey, the sun still rose this morning. Mm-hmm. God is faithful. He's going to keep his promise. He's going to keep his word. Hey, it's summer. Now it's winter. Mm-hmm. Like these natural rhythms remind us, hey, God is faithful. He's going to do what he said. He's going to keep his promises. Even like the Davidic covenant, Jeremiah 33, that God made with David, Jeremiah talks about how God's going to keep that covenant to David as long as there's day and night.
Yeah.
And so it's that same idea, I think, here from Genesis 8, that God's making a covenant with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Noah offered his worship, and then God makes a promise to Noah not to flood the earth again. And the seasons are an indication of that promise.
Yeah.
And God's faithfulness. So sun's still rising. There's still seasons. God it's is true. Still faithful. Jesus is coming back. All those things are true.
Yep.
So from a practical perspective, as mm-hmm. someone who's gardening, you're having to deal with the seasons, cooperate with the seasons.
There you go. Deal with is harsh.
Yeah. Cooperate with the seasons.
I'm given an opportunity every day to cooperate with the seasons.
You can't control them.
That's true.
So, you know, what are to you indicators that I think we talked about before? What are the indicators that seasons are changing?
Yeah.
You know, how do you lock in and tune in as a gardener to the seasons?
Right. Well, what's fun is that it's very region specific.
Right.
So different things are going to pop up for different people where they are, which means you have to be paying attention if you want to notice. For us here, one of the things that I've pointed out to you multiple times and to my garden nerd friends is that goldenrod has been blooming early this year, which is normally an indicator of fall, because it normally comes up the same time as ragweed does right before fall. And it started blooming crazy early and it freaked me out a little bit. And I was like, nature's confused. And then the temperature started dropping. Like it was like low 60s and windy last night when we were outside. And no, nature wasn't confused. I was confused. I was looking at the calendar that was on paper and not appreciating that for some reason, somehow, goldenrod flowers can tell
it's time.
When it's about to be fall
yeah.
better than we can, you know. And an observation I made last year is the songbirds.
Oh, yeah.
That I did not realize, because I'd go outside early in the morning before the sun every day with our dog. And I did not realize how quiet over the winter that time was until we started getting closer to spring, and then I went outside and it was so loud because all of the songbirds were back, and it was still, there was still like a risk of frost, and it was the time of year where you're not sure whether to plant things out or to cover things up. And like it hit me, oh, the songbirds are back. Like that means they know, like they know something that I don't know.
That's
and
cool.
So that's a good, and like I had to pull out my phone and record it because it was just so like, it's like pitch black outside. The sun is not coming up yet. And they're still just like, ah, it's springtime now. And
even though maybe it doesn't totally feel like it.
Right, right.
They're a little first clue.
There's something yeah. that the goldenrod plants and the songbirds can sense that I am desensitized to.
Yeah.
Or don't have the ability to sense. I don't know. I don't know if at one point we could sense those things and we've turned that off, or if we just weren't made the same way as plants and birds. That's all right. Both are fine. But they knew before it looked like it to me what was about to happen.
Mm.
So
some great insights there that if you pay attention, if you know the signs to look for, mm-hmm. you can be aware that the season is changing in your life. Just like you have to keep an eye on that. And that is really, when we talk about seasons, that's what most people are thinking. They're thinking the seasons of their life,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the idea is, oh, I'm in a season of this, or I'm in a season of that, or there's a transition. So you say, oh, I'm in a new season.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. It goes on and on. But the idea, of course, is that there are seasons of life.
Yeah.
And so you have to know what season you're in to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are building up when you're supposed to be breaking down,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to work, right? If you're planting when you're supposed to be plucking up. That's not going to work, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is, be aware of the season and make sure you're doing the right thing at the right time. And obviously that's huge for gardening, because if you miss the season, then you've missed the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. It's also important to just recognize that there are seasons, which means that no point of the year is permanent. You don't just have all summer. And one sense that means like, no, you can't just wait and plant things when you feel like it because you'll have enough summer left. But in another sense, you reach a point, you know, as fall gets closer, especially here, because it takes us a long time to cool off.
We're here in Eastern North Carolina.
Yes.
In the South.
And it's just an actual literal swamp, and it grows things really well. But you do reach a point where you're just like, oh, it's summer forever now. Like, this is how I'm going to die. Like, is this summertime that never ends? And it does. It always does.
Yep.
And then it's 40 degrees and rainy, and I hate that too. And then I'm mad about that and feel like that's never going to end. And so that's something that when our kids were tiny, actually Melissa Helser said that to me. Mm. And we were at a little house in Bath, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And she was just being like accidentally wise, you know, like in normal conversation, and just said like, everything is seasons.
Yeah.
Everything is seasonal.
Yeah.
And that has gotten me through lots of moments where I feel like, no, this is permanent. This is forever.
Right.
And it's also helped me to try to be more grateful when things are going well.
Right.
And not, you know, and understand that like when the season changes and I'm not in this good place that I'm trying to be grateful for right now, I didn't do anything wrong. No one else did anything wrong to me. The season changed.
Yeah.
Like no one is coming after me personally and making it 40 degrees outside, but the season still changes and I have no control over it.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep that in mind when you're in a good or bad season.
Yeah. And it's just part of the natural process.
Right.
It's just like things have to die and then things have to come back alive. They have to go dormant for a season. It's death and resurrection. It's just like the cycle of how things work.
Right.
And how God designed them to work. So
yeah,
pretending like you can do all the things in all the seasons is foolish.
Right.
Pretending like you said that everything is going to just last forever. Oh, this is how it is forever. Like, no, there's going to be waves, relationships, you know, geographies, jobs. I mean, sometimes there's very long seasons.
Sure.
For certain phases of life. And some people stay in the same job for 40 years or 50 years or whatever. But even within that continuity, there's going to be waves of different things that shift and change, even while certain things stay stable. So.
Mm-hmm. That's why, like, if you're someone who does grow your own food or try to make your own things, like the homesteader type of lifestyle, you have to assign certain parts of the year based on how much time you have, basically.
Right.
Because if you, like, I think I mentioned this once before, but, like, there's a hashtag that you can follow if you're into that kind of thing. Canuary instead of January. And it's where all the people who grew lovely gardens over the summer that overwhelmed them threw all of the produce in their freezers to can later. And then when you're sitting there in January looking through seed catalogs and wishing that your garden would come back, that's when you're supposed to pull all that stuff out of your freezer and deal with it, because you said you'd deal with it later and now it's later.
It's later.
So that's also when everybody picks up things like crocheting and sewing and the kind of indoorsy stuff that you have time to do. Because when it's July and August, you do not have time.
Right.
And it's really hot. And so like the idea of coming in from outside and then standing over a boiling pot of water to can tomatoes is like, why would I make it feel like outside inside right now? But it's really nice and cozy when it's January. And so it's about, like you said, you can't do all the things in one season. Like different tasks are for different seasons. And part of that is just practically like, okay, I cannot go plant tomatoes in January. I can. They won't grow. They'll die. And then part of it is just the wisdom of being like, what do I have the space for in this season? Like,
hey guys, this is Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider joining Presence Pioneers Premium, our brand new subscriber community. Paid subscribers will get exclusive premium content such as bonus podcast episodes, exclusive articles, early releases, and more. Presence Pioneers will be releasing its first e-course in 2024, with many more to come. And the Presence Pioneers premium subscribers will always have full access to the entire library of online courses. Visit media.presencepioneers.org or click the link in the description to join today. You can become a premium member today for an introductory price of only $5 a month. When the price goes up in the future, as our library of resources grows, you can stay subscribed at the original price. If you've enjoyed our podcast for a while, becoming a premium member is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this podcast and partner with Presence Pioneers in equipping the church with resources for day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
Realistically, what would be, you know, like, ask God, what's a good use of this season? Mm. And I mean, like he'll tell you, he's not like, you got to figure it out, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So there's this verse, a lot of people quote 2 Timothy 4:2 about being ready in season mm-hmm. and out of season. So I think there's, in every season, there's things to do.
Right.
Right. No matter what. I don't think it's like, it's not any season where you can totally check out, even in winter,
mm-hmm.
There's still work to be done, like you said. And so like for you, what are some things in the winter time and the summertime? What are the different emphasis in gardening kind of in the seasons?
So like obviously the spring is when everyone gets excited and Lowe's puts out all of the plants, and don't buy plants from Lowe's. They're too expensive. Just go buy seeds and everyone can start seeds. It's not that hard. It's not that scary. I don't know why people are scared of it. But if you buy a $2 packet of tomato seeds from migardener.com, it'll come with like 50 tomato seeds in it. And to buy that many tomato plants from, A, you won't need that many. You can share with your friends and be the generous, awesome friend. But B, to buy 50 tomato plants from Lowe's would be an exorbitant amount of money. And that's where the jokes come from, where people are like, I spent $3,000 for this tomato that I grew myself. Right. Like, well, then you made a poor choice somewhere along the way. So I'll throw that out there. So like, obviously that's when everyone's excited and putting things in the ground. But before that, so that's like May, around Easter is when,
for
here, like that's when I can be putting things in the ground and it's so exciting and everything is hopeful and there's no weeds and all that kind of stuff. But before that, I have to start my seeds. Before that, I have to order my seeds and plan what's going to go in my garden. And as I'm doing that, I have to be making sure that the soil is going to be ready and have enough nutrition in it to grow anything.
Right.
So gardening for me is a year-round thing, but it looks very different in the different seasons. Mm-hmm. And you can, in our climate, in a lot of climates, actually, you can grow things all the way through all the seasons. You can dig kale out from under snow. And it'll be fine. It'll be totally fine.
Then you have to eat kale. So
right. Yeah. That's the downside, you know, is that now kale is what you have. But if you have rabbits, that's a great, great idea. So like in January, when, you know, you have all this extra time, you can be dispassionate and separated from the stress of the July garden and plan like, what do we actually eat? And then look at like, what are the needs of this plant? What are the space needs? What are the soil needs? I can go outside when it's not 100 degrees and scoop out our chicken coop and use the soil from that to feed the soil, like the garden beds. And that's what I mix into the garden beds, because then I'm not like dying of all of the flies and smells that are in a chicken coop when it's 100 degrees outside, because that needs time to break down and to turn into healthy soil. And it's a job that does need to be done, but my goodness, it's a miserable job at the wrong time of year.
Yeah.
And then I start my seeds in February, usually right around Valentine's Day. And that way, by the time it's May and I'm excited to plant plants in the ground, I have plants, you know, that aren't that big. Sometimes they're that big and I still plant them in the ground and it's fine. But yeah, and then you have to be planning ahead at that point to what you're going to do with all of it, how you're going to care for all of it. Do you have enough freezer space to pretend like you don't have to can all these tomatoes? Or are you going to have to buckle down and can some tomatoes in the middle of the night? Like, or are you going to be everyone's least favorite friend and always have zucchini every time they see you? Like, that's the kind of, you have to plan for prepping the soil, the plants getting in there, caring for the plants, and that's mostly time. And then what are you going to do with the harvest at the end of it? Because the point of all of it is to get the harvest at the end of it.
Right.
I love the process. A lot of people really just love the process and think it's exciting to have a garden and want to just walk through it. And it's this lovely spiritual earthy experience. And then they have, you know, 5 gallon buckets full of cherry tomatoes. And you're like, what do I do with this many cherry tomatoes?
They don't want to actually eat them. Right.
Like, I grew a bunch of weird colors of tomatoes and I don't like tomatoes, it turns out. And like, not me. That's not my story. I love tomatoes. But, you know, like, you have to have a plan for what you're going to do, how you're going to steward all the things that come from what you're growing. We did that with mulberries this year. We ended up with an excess of mulberries and we just had our friends, you know, come by our house and pick mulberries when they felt like it, because you got to do something with the harvest. So,
yeah.
I hope that made sense.
Yeah. I mean, I love you sharing that. And I hope that people are picking up on the analogies, you know, without having to explain them all explicitly, sure. But that there's times of preparation.
Right.
There's times of stewarding what you get. You always have to be thinking through, discerning, aware of the season you're in. And one of the things you talked about previously was being aware of the season that's coming.
That's what I was going to say, is being ready in and out of season. To me, just looks like being aware that the seasons are going to change.
Right.
And being prepared to deal with what, like for me as a gardener, I mostly know what the season's going to be like because they're cyclical. In life, they're not always cyclical.
Right.
So you can't always be totally prepared, you know, for the next season.
But you can get up early and try to hear those birds singing.
You can certainly look for signs and spend time with Jesus. Yep. And again, I don't think he's like a sneaky leprechaun type figure that like runs away when you try to figure out what he's saying, you know?
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, being aware that the season is going to change and listening to see if you can tell what's coming is, I think, the in and out of season.
Right. So the key is timing, awareness, discernment of where you are, what's coming. Mm-hmm. So you can't just respond after it. The fact, because then you've missed the window. You kind of have to be ahead of it a little bit and recognize what's going and get ready. So Proverbs talks about a word spoken in due season. And so like there's certain things that if you do them in the right time, it's going to land. It's going to be effective. It's going to be powerful. It's going to work. It's going to click. It's going to be fruitful.
Yeah.
You're going to get stuff. It's going to grow. But it's like if you speak the same thing or do the same thing, and it's not in due season, then it's not going to have the same impact. Yeah. You know, if you put a seed that's supposed to go in the ground in April, if you put it in the ground in November, it's not going to have the same fruitfulness, you know. And if you speak prophetic word, you know, that to me, that's the essence of prophecy. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about that on our Tuesday night about prophecy. It's like a huge part of prophecy is the timing of it. And it's like you can quote a Bible verse any day and it can be generally encouraging. Man, if you have the right thing at the right time and you say it and like that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to do in that moment, all of a sudden it's going to be like, and that'll change somebody's life. They'll start crying and it'll be confirmation and they'll go, oh, how did you know that? And you're like, oh, it's just the same old verse that if I had read this to you a year ago, it wouldn't have meant anything to you.
Yeah.
And, but when you speak that word at the right time, you put the seed in the ground at the right time, then that's huge.
That makes me think of, it's not a gardening related story. It's a people related story. But, when I was little, my dad got my mom some fancy, like a fancy jewelry set with like blue stones in it that she like, oh, like blue ones or something. I think he got it for her for Christmas. And my sister would have been like 3 at the time. So he was excited that he had gotten her this thing and made the mistake of showing his 2 little girls like shiny jewelry and being like, look, this is for mommy. And like, and so my sister in her excitement was like, I just got this good news from my dad about this other person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run out of the room right this second. and go be like, mommy, 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 daddy got you these pretty earrings for Christmas. So then, of course, he had to go ahead and give them to her and like, okay, well, thanks, I guess. Like, Merry Christmas, you know.
Right.
But it's just like the idea and the image of like a dad, your dad, telling you something about someone else. And just knowing like, this is a gift for them for in the future. And knowing to be more mature than a 3-year-old maybe. And not, sometimes you have to like sit on it. Sometimes the word, you know, like even if it's a Bible verse, if he highlights a Bible verse for someone. Yeah. Like sometimes that's like, hey, go share this with them. They need to hear that right now.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes it's not the right season and you'll be excited and run into the other room and be like, guess what my dad told me about you? And they'll be like, okay, you know, and then you feel like, oh no, I didn't hear from God. I didn't.
Yeah.
And it was literally just like, you didn't listen to the whole thing where he said, don't tell her. Okay. Cause it's not time yet.
Yeah.
So listening all the way through when signs are being given is helpful. Like, you know,
I like how you shared about getting ahead of the season.
Right.
And I kind of shared about being behind the season because I think our personalities are that.
Oh, 100%.
Where I might wait too long. Is it totally time yet? Is it totally time yet? And then miss a window. Whereas you might be the one that.
Whereas I, the first time I started seeds to give away, started them at the beginning of January.
Exactly.
Because I just couldn't stand it anymore. And then we had sunflowers blooming inside before the final frost was done, like way too early. And I had to keep putting them in bigger pots and bigger pots and bigger pots. And none of them were healthy because they weren't getting enough sunlight. And it was just like I'd have to move like 30 pots outside during the day and then move them all back inside at night. And you were kind and helped me do that. But like,
it
made some chaos because I just could not wait for the season to change. And no matter how hard I hoped and how many big pots I planted full of things, I could not force the season to change.
So some self-awareness is helpful.
Yes.
To know if you tend to be that or if you tend to be maybe my personality, which would be, oh, there might be one more frost. There might be one more frost. Let's wait.
And then miss it.
And then miss it. And so that's, of course, the challenge. And it's a little bit, it's more of a art than a science, I think.
Sure. It's more of listening than knowing.
Right.
But, I mean, you have to be listening. You can't just know.
Yeah. Gotta listen for those birds. See if they're singing yet.
Yeah,
I think that's huge. So helpful in navigating through the seasons. I was going to read one more verse before we shift to part two, but this is just about the winter. It talks about the ants. Proverbs a couple of times, but like verse 6 of chapter 6. Go to the ant, sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, without having any chief, officer, ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So that's strong. So that's talking about summer and like stewarding the harvest, how the ant is working hard to gather it all. 20 verse 4, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then chapter 30, verse 25 says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in summer. And so the point is they're gathering up the harvest when it's harvest time to help them get through the winter so that when there's no harvest, they have something to eat on. Don't be lazy.
Right.
The point is, in every season, there's work to be done.
Yes. It just looks different.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's good to recognize what season you're in, to know what job needs to be done.
Yes. And to work hard.
And to work hard. Yep.
To not be lazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bible's pretty black and white about that.
So there are healthy rhythms.
Yes.
Of life. There's days of rest. And we're going to talk about that more in part two.
Sure.
So there are healthy rhythms of rest, but there's also a tendency to either be lazy or to not rest rather than to be in those healthy rhythms that God has. And I think that to me is part of what seasons speak to, is like syncing up with the Holy Spirit and with God, the way he made our bodies, the way he made the world, so that we can function with him and partnership.
Both of those things are a way of being on autopilot and not mm-hmm. listening. You either turn it off and you're lazy, or you turn it off and you just keep going.
Yeah.
And both of those, obviously, it seems like, oh, wouldn't it just be better then to not be lazy? But either way, you are ignoring the voice of God, which is bad. And putting a busy looking spin on it doesn't make it less of you ignoring the voice of God.
Yep. Amen. We're going to talk more about that in part two. And we're also going to talk about fallow ground.
Great.
So if you guys know the verses, Hosea, Jeremiah, talk about breaking up the fallow ground. Some of you may think that means dry ground. Mm-hmm. A little teaser. That's not what it means.
It's not, and I'm mad about it.
So if you want to see Shepherd get feisty about fallow ground and find out what that really means from a gardening perspective and from a biblical perspective, we're going to talk about that in part two. Kind of stay on this theme of seasons and rhythms and work and rest and the cycles of life and that kind of thing. So the way you can get part two is this going to be a bonus episode. So it'll be for our paid subscribers on our Substack. So if you're not a paid subscriber, now's a great time to sign up. It's very cheap. And it's a great deal. You can do a little bit every month or go ahead and pay for the year. Mm-hmm. You get all of our bonus podcast episodes, some exclusive articles, and free access to my Enjoying Prayer course. You can find the link down in the show notes and in the description. So thank you guys for tuning in today. And don't forget, God's presence changes everything.